Rondé Barber's killing the Bucks secondary. It looks really bad. I'm going back to the Glazers. I got to think about the Glazers. Key guys. I'm not talking about Logan Hall. Polish off about 3 Cuban sandwiches, maybe a hot dog in the carving station. In that order. Take your best shot.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. Starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here of Joe Bucks Fan, and Bill Curry Ford is where you have to go to buy any vehicle that you're looking for. Truck, van, car. Custom concierge ordering is available online. And if you order a vehicle at BillCurryFord.com, GM Sean Sullivan will give you a $500 gift card. It's just that easy. And all new vehicles come with their nationwide lifetime warranty and 10-year roadside assistance and no deposit. How about that? BillCurryFord.com. Check them out today. 571 vehicles available right now as I read this here on their website. Their Black Friday sales have already begun, Ira. How about that? You can get 2.9% APR financing. Check it out, BillCurryFord.com. There's Veterans Day sale. This is the time to buy a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. The dealership's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. And just ask for Sean Sullivan. He is the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. But more important, at least for today, he is the boss at Bill Curry Ford. He's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount on top of everything, and he'll guide you and assist you however he can. Family-owned makes a difference at Bill Curry Ford. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's who you call whenever you have a disaster at your property. You call them 24/7. They'll come out free and evaluate what's happening and whether this is an insurance claim. And if it is, they can handle it for you so you don't get slapped around or ripped off by the insurance company. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there. Check them out, see what they do, understand their services, and know from us that they're family-owned and a fantastic company, and then you're ready when disaster strikes, mold, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever it is. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They, too, Ira, have a $500 Ira Kaufman discount. Joe Bucks fan, when you call them initially, mention where you heard about it, and then eventually, if you need their services, if you already mentioned Joe Bucks fan and Ira Kaufman, after that free evaluation, that's when they'll give you the $500 back if you make an agreement to have them assist you to restore your property. Maybe it's for your deductible or just cash back. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Sage is feeling a little under the weather today, but he's on the bounce back. He'll be at $1 this week. He's all fired up. And of course, he's drinking Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We'll talk about them later. Big Storm Brewery. .com. That's where you can see all the beers and all the menus at the great tap rooms, bigstormbrewery.com. All right, Ira, look, a lot of emotion. I'm glad we're actually doing this podcast a couple of days after that horrid loss, because you know what? We need sensibility and sanity and sage wisdom for all Bucks fans. So for now, I'm going to step aside. Lee is going to step aside. And what does the sage want to tell Buccaneers fans about the state of the franchise, what that game was all about, what it means, what it doesn't mean? The floor is yours, Ira.
This might take a couple of minutes, gentlemen, before I turn it over to my distinguished colleague, Mr. DeCamper. Steve, you just talked about Black Friday at Bill Curry Ford. I'm still trying to get over Black Sunday. I watched that game intently. To me, two out of the last three games are inexcusable. I go back to the Atlanta game. They lost 3 red zone fumbles, the Falcons, and still beat the Bucs. That can't happen. Then I'm watching Sunday's game. The Bucks put up a lot of points. Mayfield plays pretty well. Rashad White looks good. And what happens? The defense falls apart. People would say, well, what do you expect? You picked them 6-11, Sage. You picked them 6-11. I did, Lee. I did. But once you start out 3-1, all bets are off. That is part of the crushing disappointment surrounding this franchise. Now, I always try to give Steve a little nugget. Steve tries to give me a little nugget. I got one, Lee. I got one. I found this out today. I think it's very telling. Here's a reason why I think it's even more depressing than the basic 3-5 in the standings. You look at two things, Lee, when you're struggling. Hey, are we injured? Are we going to get some key guys back? Key guys. I'm not talking about Logan Hall, Lee. I'm talking about key guys. Well, their key guys are playing. Who's coming back that's going to make a difference? That's the first thing. The second thing you look at, if you're 3-5 or 2-6, hey, we're turning the ball over too much. We're getting killed on the turnover table. We're getting killed. Here's the nugget, Lee. Here's the nugget. Lee, 11 teams, 11, have positive turnover differential. 11. One of those 11 has a losing record. One. It is our Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm starting to think this roster's not good enough, Lee. People are talking about coaching. They love to jump on Bowles. Last year, they loved to jump on Leftwich. Lee, there are holes in this roster. There's no getting around it. You mentioned it last week. Beyond Evans and Godwin, who was a non-factor, Godwin, an absolute non-factor on Sunday. Still trying to figure that one out. There's not much beyond those guys. There's just not much. The offensive line is okay. And now, Lee, the most worrisome part of the whole picture. The one thing that Todd Bowles could hang his hat on. Hey, we're playing pretty good defense. We're the number 6 scoring defense. We don't care how many yards they give up, Lee. What's the points on the board? And it was good. Real good. And now we watch that disaster on Sunday. Can you play a worse game than Carlton Davis? Is it possible? I couldn't believe what I was watching. And when they asked Bowles about it, normally, Lee, and you know this, normally it's like, well, it's not all his fault. It wasn't his responsibility on some of those plays. It was a bust by some other people. You can't blame one. He didn't say that, Lee. He didn't say that about Carlton Davis. He said he had a bad game. I think bad is a hell of a tepid word. That was a disgraceful game by Carlton Davis. Jamel Dean's injury had nothing to do with that game. Nothing. What's Jamel Dean been doing, Lee? Is he a difference maker? Rondae Barber's killing the Bucs secondary. Lee, it looks really bad. And here comes Tennessee, winnable game. Well, don't you think Tennessee thinks it's a winnable game? Even with their own rookie quarterback? Then a trip to San Francisco. I guess what I'm saying, Lee, and it's rough to say this after a 3-1 start, I think Buck fans are starting to think about the 2024 draft. And who can blame them? They're looking at the quarterbacks, maybe 5 deep, maybe 6 deep. Can the Bucs get one? Well, guess what, Lee? They also need a damn pass rusher in the worst way, because besides how bad Carlton Davis was, Lee, the pass rush was absolutely abysmal. And I'm looking at Dotrian. I'm looking at Logan Hall. He didn't play, but he hasn't done anything all season. Shaq Barrett seems to be a little bit of a shell of himself. Lee, where's the rush? That's one thing that Bowles always hung his hat on. So things are looking really bad right now, Lee, at 3-5. I guess I made a big deal about how favorable the schedule is down the stretch. I'm throwing that out the window now. I'm not sure they should be favored against any team in this league at this point. This looks like a bad football team. I'll turn it over to Mr. DeKemper. Lee, this is a bad football team.
Yeah, they're right now, I believe, they have the 8th pick in the draft. If they lose to Tennessee, which is very possible, I'm not saying they will, but it's very possible, you're looking at what, 3-7 when they come home from San Francisco? It's over. I will suggest it's over if they lose this Sunday. It's over. It's over. Now, as far as the draft, outside of the Kyle Trask people that jump up and down like Sean Merriman, you know, you think he's John Elway, even though, you know, he's never proven it on a practice field or a game, but these people are 150% confident he'll rip up the league. At any rate, outside of the Kyle Trask people, almost every other Buck fan has been talking about a quarterback since Mayfield signed. Since Brady left, they've been talking about a quarterback, except the Trask people. So that's nothing new about getting a quarterback. Joe Tryon, is he any better than he was as a rookie?
No, absolutely not.
No, he's staggered. Pointed out before, he's had 3 different position coaches. You know, I'm at the point right now where, you know, nice guy that he is, you got to get off the field. It's got to be Yaya. You know, they got to do something. So I don't know what they're going to do. You know, the pass rush, I'm a freaking broken record. I've been screaming about a pass rush since Raheem Morris was coach. Every year I scream about it. There's stats up the wazoo that show if you can't get a sack, you can't win games. And this team, for whatever reason, not just in recent history, but as you pointed out in your column, Ira, the last pass rusher this team drafted, good pass rusher, I'm not talking about some stiff, I'm talking about a guy that affects the game. The last time they drafted a pass rusher that affected the game consistently was their very first draft pick in franchise history, Leroy Selman.
You might mean as on the edge, Lee, because they drafted Sapp.
Yeah, I'm thinking of edge. I'm thinking of edge. Not necessarily.
On the edge. Yeah, I think that is that is amazing, Steve. That is absolutely amazing. I started going through the drafts looking for an edge rusher. I came up with Adrian Claiborne. I came up with Hugh Green. You know, he had some decent years, but, you know, not a major factor. Not a major factor. It's incredible, Steve. The two things that stick out. Never a quarterback drafted by the Bucs got a second contract with the Bucs. And they can't draft an edge rusher. Steve, it's unbelievable. They've been playing since 76.
I understand, Ira. Look, we know the history of the pass rush. You know, they did a good job finding it in free agency and through trades through the Super Bowl years, and that got them a title. I'll say this, as with all the problems that are out there, the pass rush, to me, I'm not that worried about, only because right now they're tied with Dallas, Detroit, and Tennessee in the NFL, tied for 17th, all those three teams with 2.6 sacks per game. That's where they land. San Francisco is behind them at 22nd in the league. And the pass rush, I don't think it's hurting them because other teams have very comparable pass rushes, and they're doing just as well as far as or they're doing better than the Bucs are defensively. I don't know what's happened to the secondary. And Devin White, you know, we've watched his demise, and he's not snapping out of it at all. And the run defense is not smothering like it used to be. It's good. It's not bad, but it's not smothering like it used to be. And that big part of that is White as well. It's a mess, Ira. But let me throw this out there, Sage. I'm actually kind of optimistic. I don't think defense is the weakness on this team. It completely fell apart in the last game. But prior to that, it was showing some red flags, but it's still not a bad defense. I don't think it's just going to go to crap overnight for the rest of the season unless they quit on Todd Bowles. And if the defense bounces back, which I think they should, the offense, it's coming together in some ways. I mean, it still looks disjointed. As screwy as the offense looked on Sunday, they still scored 37 points without a defensive touchdown. So to me, you know, Mayfield's playing well, and if your quarterback is playing pretty well and you have some defensive talent, it should fall together at some point. They may be running out of time, but I'm just not that nervous going forward, Ira. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, here's the way I'm thinking too, Lee. Another 8-9 season, maybe you win the division. Lee, I think you're spinning your wheels. I think you're spinning your wheels. I just do. You know, Bowles isn't going to think like that. He's fighting for his job, and he wins another division title. He probably could keep his job. Lee, they're not going anywhere, you know, right now. They're not a contender. And I want them to be a contender. And to me, the path to being a contender, make hay with some of those early draft picks. Impact players. I think they need a quarterback, Lee. I just think they got to draft a quarterback, especially this year. You can't be left out in the cold in a draft with five or six guys going in the first round and you take a guy in the fourth round. I'm not buying it, Lee. I'm just not buying it.
They can't pass on a quarterback this year unless they play in a tank next year. They can't. And
I mean, yeah, Lee, to Steve's point, yeah, Mayfield's not playing bad, but he's not the long-term answer. He's just not. And you know, they got to wake up and look in the mirror and take, you know, I don't think the Glazers think he's a long-term answer. I'm not blaming the 3-5 on Baker Mayfield, but they need that guy, Lee. He's not that guy. They need that guy and build around that guy. That's where it starts, Lee. They can't keep saying next year. They got to do it. And they got to hit on the right guy. They've tried with Freeman. They tried with Dilfer. They tried with Vinny. They tried with Jameis. You got to hit on the right guy, Lee. Give it a shot. Take your best shot.
There you go. Hitting on the right guy. They forced Freeman more than anything. He was a head case. Here's the thing, and this is why, you know, there's a bunch of reasons I can come up with why I believe the Bucs will draft a quarterback, and this is one of them. I don't believe the Bucs are going to hire a defensive-minded coach for, hypothetically, if this is Bowles' last year, I don't think the Glazers are going to hire a defensive-minded coach.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah. I think they're going to go offense. Then what better way to get, you know, whoever that is, whether it's Munkin, like you said, whether it's Jim Harbaugh, whomever. Kafka, I'm a big Kafka fan. They're not doing anything this year, the Giants, but I think Kafka's the next Andy Reid disciple is going to do something. There's a bunch of guys out there. Philly's offensive coordinator, who used to be up at the University of Florida, he's pretty good. Whatever guy they bring in, the Bucs have a couple of carrots. Number one, and Light said this on Good Morning Football 2 weeks ago, he looks forward to having Evans continue to set records with the Bucs next year. So you go to a potential offensive-minded coach. Hey, I got Chris Godwin, I got Mike Evans, and you get to pick the quarterback. You single out the quarterback you want, we'll go get him in the draft. That you get to pick them up. That's pretty big carrot there.
That's not bad, Lee. Steve, I hope you're not going to do a counter-argument that they don't need a quarterback, Steve.
Well, my question to you is, what would you be saying today? And it's strictly a hypothetical, Ira. What are you saying today? Carlton Davis is covering the guy in the end zone. They don't complete it, and the Bucs win 37-33 or whatever it is. And Mayfield is now the talk of the town. Big comeback, 37 points. Here comes the Bucs offense. Would you be saying he's not the guy?
Well, he didn't light it up, Steve. He played well. He didn't light it up. I think he threw for 250. They had field position the whole game. That helps. Stroud had no field position. Zero. That even makes it worse about that defensive performance. I think one time they started a drive lead past their own 25. One time out of 12 possessions. Those touchdown drives were 75 yards, all of them, except I think one was 52. Now, Lee, you disagree with me about this one, but I think they need to sell some tickets next year. You say, well, that's not as important as it used to be. You're right. But, you know, 15,000 empty seats don't look good, Lee. Don't look good. And you're trying to lock people in for another 2 years, and I don't think Mayfield's the way to do it, Lee. I think you build some excitement with a new quarterback, maybe a new coach. That's the way it's looking right now. You know, have a little jam to this franchise. This franchise is it's treading water. It's nondescript. Nobody's talking about them. Did you see our announcing group? I just happened to take a look. I think Tiki Barber's coming to town, whoever he works with. That ain't exactly the A group, Lee. Those days are over for the time being.
They had the B group Sunday, Ian Eagle.
But I'm looking forward to seeing Tiki. Lee, they're 3-5. And you know what? Here's another part that, you know, goes unnoticed a little bit. They lost to a Buffalo team that's kind of mediocre. They're not very good. They're not very good. I don't know what's going on in Buffalo. There's a problem. They're missing a ton of guys. They got some injuries on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bengals are much better than the Bills at the moment.
Yeah.
Much better. And, you know, they handled the Bucs. I know what the final score was. I know they had a Hail Mary at the end. But, Lee, you watched the game. I never thought the Bucs were going to win that game, even when it started. I just didn't. I thought Buffalo was by far the better team, and it turns out the Bills aren't very good. So it is what it is, guys. I still don't think they'll go 6-11. I was taking some heat over that early 6-11 pick, and now it's not looking so crazy.
Well, wait a minute, Ira. Wait a minute, Ira. You changed it. You changed it to 10-7 after they went 3-1. You did a rewind, and now we don't know where you are. I guess we'll talk to you on next week and figure out where you are after this game.
Well, I got to do another rewind, Lee. That's just the way it is.
If I'm the Glazer family, and I got to believe, by the way, after Sunday's game, I got to believe, whether it was group text, whether it was conference call, I got to believe there was a meeting of minds. And in that meeting of minds, there was discussion of the future of the Bucs with Todd Bowles. I really believe that. There had to have been. After that debacle, there had to have been. You know, do we have the right guy? Do we have the right players? You know, what's it look like next year? Do we need to have a fire sale in the offseason? Whatever. Having said that, the Bucs the last 3 years have invested heavily on the defensive front seven. A couple first-round picks, a second-round pick. McKenzie looks like he might be something. Joe Tryon, I mean, come on. If you're a Glazer member, the Glazer family, at one point do you ask Jason Light, why are these guys not being developed? We're investing heavily in these guys. We're not seeing any return on our investment. Matter of fact, it's going belly up.
Well, Lee, that's one of two ways to look at it. What's going on with the coaching staff in terms of developing these guys? Lee, the other way is, you know, you made a mistake in the draft. This guy's not very good. He can't translate his game to the next level. You never know which way the Glazers are looking at it. Lee, to your point about the Glazers having a Zoom call amongst themselves or whatever, there are discussions going on, Lee. There has to be. I mean, we know the way ownership works. They don't wait till the last minute to think about a change in regime. They have to be thinking about it now. I don't think it's going to happen if it happens until the end of the season. I think all three of us are in agreement on that. I don't think they gain anything by making a move. It's not working, Lee. It's just not working. You're right. Young players are not developing left and right. It's a big problem. And you know this, Steve. When I show up with Lee on Sunday, after I have polished off about three Cuban sandwiches, maybe a hot dog, in the carving station, in that order, Steve, in that order, I'm going to look out at the stands, and I'm going to see 15,000 empty seats, Steve. That's just the way it's going to be. Nashville doesn't travel. They're not excited about their football team. You know, it's going to be a drab backdrop for this game on Sunday.
So wait a minute. So you eat the hot dog after the three Cubans?
Yeah, you start with the Cubans. You start maybe two Cubans, a hot dog, and then back to the Cuban and the carving station.
All right. So it's 2-1-1 is the
yeah,
sequence.
2-1-1, okay. That's a good formula.
All right. I was a little confused. All right. That makes much more sense, Ira. All right. Look, I'm a little worried about Todd Bowles, Sage, because he looks shell-shocked. He's saying some weird crap. And let me start with one thing he said this week on the Buccaneers Radio Network on his radio show. And then I'm going to give you one more thing that he said. We'll just stop at two, but we'll give Todd a break. He said he liked how on the Buccaneers Radio Network, he said he thought, this is after he watched the film, he thought that the Bucs got Mike Evans involved early, and he liked that. Well, I started wondering if I actually watched the same game, so I went back to look it up, Sage. In the first half, Evans had 4 targets for 26 yards, and I don't know if that really qualifies as getting involved early. And then they didn't target him in the whole third quarter. And of course, you know, here he comes late as they typically do. So like, I don't even know what they're doing. They didn't target Godwin very much. And yet, you know, here comes Cade Otton, who's getting all the targets, and they're making some plays. You know, Evans busted out late, and they've got all the big points, and the kicker's good. I don't know, just some weird stuff from Bowles there.
The one thing I did like, Lee, they did take a couple of shots downfield. They took my advice, Lee, and I think they got at least one flag out of it, and a nice gain or two out of it. Finally, some shots downfield. I'm worried about Godwin, Lee. I'm a little worried. He doesn't score any touchdowns. Well, what's going on with the touchdowns with Godwin?
Thursday, I'm going out there to talk to Canales. What's Bull's going to say at this point? He doesn't say a whole lot to begin with. I appreciate his honesty and his candor, but he's not a talkative guy. Let's put that. At least when he gets up to the podium, get him away from the podium, he's talkative. But my question for Canales: why are you not targeting Evans and Godwin? Is it one of three things? You don't value them in your game plan because you want to run the ball so much, or is it Mayfield's not looking for them? And there's a third one I can't think of right now. There's the third reason. Is the defense taking them out? So it's one of three things. Either defenses are taking them out because they're not worried about Palmer. They're certainly not worried about Devin Tompkins. I'm about done with Devin Tompkins. They're not worried about those guys. So I can see how the defense would take them out. Buffalo took those guys out. But it's almost to the point where I don't know if Canales values those guys. Canales has said, Mike Evans is the best receiver I've ever worked with, which I think is saying quite a lot, given the receivers he worked with in Seattle. But proof is in the pudding. He doesn't target him that much. If Evans really is that badass of a receiver, wouldn't you want to flaunt that? Wouldn't you want to target the guy? So something weird's going on. And while I brought up the word weird, I got to say this, Ira. Every week, something weird happens with the Bucs. Something weird happens. Whether it's a quarterback having 3 fumbles in the red zone and the Bucs recover all 3 and they lose, or it's that stunt with the faux field goal up in Buffalo, or the Hail Mary no one tried to catch. Just weird things happen with this team on a weekly basis that you do not see good teams do.
Interesting observations, Lee. Steve, you're right about Bowles. He does look shell-shocked. And I think this one was personal because the defense was so lousy. So he took it a little bit more personally, Steve. And as you point out, You score 37 points, you're supposed to win that game. You have to win that game, especially when you're coming along averaging 18 points. Now you double your total, and you still lose. Bowles was absolutely shocked about the secondary and the lack thereof. And here comes Rondé Barber to back him up, a secondary that's got Antoine Winfield in it. I think part of it is the lack of a pass rush, Steve. I thought Stroud had way too much time, way too much. And that's, you know, that's a big factor, always. It's always a big factor. The scheme they're using, the soft defense, it's not working right now. It's just not working. They're getting ripped to shreds. Here comes Will Levis. And as Lee mentioned, Steve, if things go off the tracks on Sunday, I think something has to change at that point. Maybe they try to trash the last five games of the year, not necessarily because Mayfield's playing terrible, just to see what Trask has going into 2024. One thing, Steve, we got to mention it. You know, we can't be, negative Nellies here all over this podcast, although it's tough not to be. Rashad White's playing better, guys. He's playing better. He made some nice runs, some. And he's always, you know, he's always effective as a back at catching balls. He always is. So back-to-back 100-yard, you know, from scrimmage games, we got to acknowledge that, Lee.
Oh, well, I'm also going to acknowledge it. He's been so awful. It's like anything he does, people blow out of proportion. Like, oh, my God, you see that great run? What, the 4 yards? Oh, wow. I forgot all about the Adrian Peterson being in the NFL. You know, come on, people.
Sage, I know you don't like to shop too much unless it's for food, but you can load up on holiday gifts right now at Big Storm Distillery. That's at bigstormdistillery.com. Yes, our great friends and partners at Big Storm Brewing Company, they also have A-list spirits. Get to bigstormdistillery.com. They'll ship it out to you. Of course, they're available at most of the tap rooms, especially a big selection in Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Homerton Road. BigStormDistillery.com. Top shelf kind of stuff over there. We're always proud to talk about them. Follow Big Storm on social media. Facebook, each location has its own page. Big Storm Odessa, Big Storm Clearwater, Big Storm Amway Center in Orlando, Big Storm in Cape Coral, and of course Ybor City, the new location. They've got a lot of cool events up there. Each tap room has its own menu. BigStormBrewery.com. See all the menus, all the beers. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm beer.
Ira, your thoughts on this? Bowles knows he needs wins. He knows. Forget playoffs right now. He needs wins. He's in career saving mode. I cannot imagine that he would go to the bullpen and bring Trask in unless two things. One, Mayfield's hurt. Two, it's a direct order that's coming from above Jason Light.
Bingo. Bingo. You got it, Lee. That's right. That could happen. Could be a direct order.
Sage, this is the other thing that Bowles said. He told Dan Lucas on WFLA, you know, just to reset where it was in the game, the Buccaneers were winning 17-10 at halftime, and they came out, they got a field goal, so they're up 20-10. Texans get the ball, they busted the play, 75 yard touchdown pass, a 50 yard catch and run. McCollum wasn't there, and then Ryan Neal didn't get over, and right, it's a one play 75 yard drive. Well, Dan Lucas asked Bowles about that, and Bowles said, quote, how he talked about how it was a crushing play. And he said, quote, I thought it took us a few series to bounce back from that play. That was a big play. A few series, maybe one series I could get, but a few series that you have this defense with established position coaches, allegedly good leadership out there on the field, Super Bowl winners, and it took you a few series just to bounce back from a touchdown that didn't even put you losing in the game. They were winning 2016 after the Texans didn't make the 2-point conversion. I think that just speaks to something that's really wrong with everything going on in the team.
It does speak to a mental weakness, Lee. The crazy things that happened surrounding the Bucs, Lee, you could throw in the injury to the kicker last week. I mean, that doesn't happen every week. They got to try for two, and again, you lose the game. You lose the game. Guys, I can't help at this point, at the 3-5 point, I'm going back to the Glazers. I got to think about the Glazers. Joel, Brian, Ed, Avi, Darcy, throw whoever else you want in there. What are they thinking, Lee? What are they thinking? I think they're thinking, if this goes on much longer, I'm not sure they want to win. I'm not at that point. I'm being serious here. Nothing they'll ever say publicly. And now you got a coach fighting for wins, and the ownership is torn. Steve, I think this is a real possibility. They're not going to tell that to Todd Bowles. The players are going to try to win. But I think at that point, 4-8, if that's what we're looking at, in the big picture, Steve, what's the point? What's the point? It's a tough spot, Lee, especially with a quarterback-rich draft.
Well, I agree with you completely if that's the case. But look, the next four games, you've got the Titans, the Niners, the Colts, and the Panthers. If you can't get three wins, then you have a serious problem. But if you do get the three wins, then you're 6-6. You know, you've sort of restored order, and I think the Glazers would be very happy with that. But you have to go out and beat these bad football teams, and if you can't do that, then I think they would throw in the towel. Even if the Bucks go, if they go 2-2 in their next four games, that's 5-7. What are you doing? You might as well just collapse.
We talk about it all the time, but it's right there in front of us, Lee. It's there in front of us. You know, Chicago's got two draft picks. Even if they turn on Justin Fields, they're not going to use two picks on a quarterback, so they might, you know, they should be open for business about giving up one of those picks. Who knows what Arizona's doing with Kyler Murray? I guess he's playing Sunday. Are they ready to give up on Kyler Murray? Nobody wants Murray's contract. That's a question mark. We don't know what's going on there. So this draft's going to be incredibly interesting.
If the Bears, and it looks like they're going to have, the second worst record in the league, so have the second and third pick. If the Bears have any common sense, and that's very debatable, given how that franchise has been run the last 20 years, they will draft a quarterback with their first pick, whomever that may be, Caleb Williams, Drake May, whomever, with that second pick, Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's a good call, Lee. That's a good call. You're making things easier for your rookie quarterback. And DJ Moore is not a bad receiver. So you got him and Harrison. Now, they got a long way to go, obviously. But, oh, by the way, guys, I want to make this point. One of my favorite punching bags, Lee. You've heard me say it. You've heard me trash him on Chris Russo. I've trashed him on this podcast. I might as well trash him again. Here comes Tepper. Here comes Tepper, Lee. And I think it's pretty clear, Lee. I don't even think there's much debate about this anymore. This guy Tepper, this hedge fund manager, with his $16 billion, who I didn't like the first time I ever met him when he was introduced when I went to Atlanta. You guys sent me to Atlanta for one of these May meetings, and that was the day that Tepper was introduced by Commissioner Goodell. And he went to the podium and started talking about, hey, let's play a few games out of Charlotte. We don't have to be in Charlotte. Let's move the practice facility. Right then and there, I knew this guy was trouble.
Is that the same day you broke bread with Brian and Joel Glazer?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, Lee, the point I'm trying to make about this guy Tepper, he stuck his nose where it doesn't belong, Lee. Right into personnel. And you can't tell me that anybody in his right mind knew that Stroud, led by Sean Sullivan, you know, carrying the flag for Stroud, and he did. Nobody in his right mind's taking Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. But they did because Tepper got involved. He went to his senior day. He went to this. He went to that. And he got entranced by Bryce Young. And you take one look at Young and you take one look at Stroud. Who's got the look of an NFL quarterback, Lee? Who?
Yeah. By the way, let's applaud David Tepper's decision, because what the hell would have happened to the Bucks if they had to face C.J. Stroud twice a year?
Great point, Lee. He looked great with all the help that he got from the Bucks, Steve. There's no denying he looked fantastic.
I can't go crazy slapping around Tepper yet, because you don't really know who's going to be great out of these quarterbacks. It is a little early, Ira. I know you don't like the guy, but it is a little early.
Well, it's not that, Steve, but Stroud looks like the real deal, doesn't he, Steve?
You know, when you said your favorite punching bag, I thought you were going to say Rick Stroud for a minute. I got a little confused.
we'll put him right behind Tepper, Stevie, right behind Tepper.
Ira, hey, in this game, Sage... Did Cade Otton breaking out there for a couple of touchdowns, a couple long passes, did that do anything for you? Did it make you think that maybe he's a first-year player who's taking a big second-year leap or getting ready to?
It got me a little warm and fuzzy because I thought that touchdown catch, which was a very nice throw by Mayfield, because the coverage wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. Perfect pass and a very nice catch by Otten. He's adequately. He doesn't get me excited, but he might be adequate.
That might have been the very first play I've seen Cade Otten be physical.
That one in the end zone, the catch in the end zone?
Yeah, what would have been the game winner. The Bucs could have made a stop at the end. As much as I like Cade Otten as a person, I hate to use the four-letter word. Let's just say he's the opposite of tough. But that play was the first time I saw him out-physical a guy to make sure he came down with the ball. I certainly hope that's a sign of things to come. That showed me some growth.
All right. I got to run this past you because we're on a campaign here to slowly needle you into this to make sure you turn the corner in the right direction. But first, I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Black Friday specials, their sales are up right now. BillCurryFord.com, check them out. Don't waste time. Your mind will be blown. Get over there. Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank our friends at Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Stock up for the holidays. They've got spirits as well. BigStormBrewery.com. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Get prepared for storm season and disaster season, which of course is all the time. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, Ira, here we go. Derek Brooks has 24 career forced fumbles in the regular season. Good for him. Levante David has 28. And he got that 28th in the first quarter right out of the gate. And I think it was the first play of the game. And he caused that big hit. And with that forced fumble, he passes Khalil Mack, Tony Brackens, Clay Matthews, Von Miller, and J.J. Watt on the all-time list of forced fumbles. Does forced fumbles matter, Ira, in the Hall of Fame room if Levante David can get a few more in his career and really jump up the ladder even more?
I think it's a significant category. I do, because, you know, linebackers aren't normally going to get many interceptions. Not many. I think Butkus had some huge total, like 25. That's a very big total. Urlacher had a lot of interceptions. That helped him getting into the Hall. Forced fumbles count. I think it's much more important than fumble recoveries, because recoveries, you just got to be in the right place at the right time. Forced fumbles, you're doing something. You're doing something, and you're giving 10 of your teammates a chance to recover that ball besides yourself. You know, I look at forced fumbles much more than fumble recoveries. It's a big category, Steve. You are on the Levante David bandwagon. I don't blame you, Steve. I don't blame you. He's had a very good season. Better than any of us could have imagined. By the way, Steve, I will take umbrage. That's my word of the day, Lee. Umbrage. And Lee, you gotta decide this point counterpoint between me and Mr. Isbitz. I thought Devin White played pretty well. I thought he played pretty well. I noticed him, Lee. I noticed him. I thought he was fairly effective as a blitzer. I think the second play of the game, I noticed him. I think it was a blitz right off the bat. And I thought Devin White played okay, and I don't think Steve thought he had a good game.
Overall, he didn't have a good game. He had a couple of splash plays. The first time you noticed him, I guess you also noticed how he missed the tackle on the quarterback. That's a vintage Devin White move. That's Devin White. He did get a sack, broke his 14-game sackless streak. Now, I'd like to ask you this. Your sources, your wisdom, your take, your view, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's going to happen, it's a slam dunk, 0, no way in God's green earth. The linebacker the Bucs keep for 2024 is not Devin White, but Levante David.
I think it's an 8 in favor of David. In favor of keeping David and losing White. Steve, White hasn't done enough to merit a big contract. He hasn't. We've all seen it, unless he has a huge finish. And I thought Bowles gave him a little bit more leeway on Sunday instead of just dropping him back into coverage where he's mediocre at best. I thought he allowed him to use his speed and his flash a little bit more. I think we're going to see more of that frankly, because I don't think I think Bowles is desperate for a pass rush. Steve, one quick thing. You mentioned the sacks, and you're right. The total is right there with some of these other teams like Dallas, which is surprising. But, Steve, some of the other numbers, they don't rank very well at all. Pressures, hits, tackles for loss, they're lousy. This Buck defense is lousy. And they've been very strong for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, since Bowles came to town. They've been very good in those categories. Pressures, and they're not anymore. So, Steve, besides the sacks with Stroud, I just didn't think he faced a lot of pressure. They're not making these quarterbacks uncomfortable. So that's the point I was trying to make in terms of the pass rush, Steve, beyond the sack total.
Oh, I understand. Look, the pass rush isn't passing the eye test. The most important part of a pass rush is consistency. You know, that's what gets in the quarterback's head. You know, they haven't been super consistent with that. But, Sage, we appreciate you battling through under the weather on this podcast. I think it's fantastic. I'll answer Lee's question. Bucks fans should be getting ready now to just thank Devin White for his service, thank him for the Super Bowl, thank him for some great moments and some great flashes, but he's not worth anywhere near what they're paying him because he's just not producing. He's got 3 quarterback hits this season. The last 3 years, he had 16, 18, and 16 respectively. He's got three. He hasn't forced a fumble. He hasn't picked. He did get that interception early. That's when he had the bad groin running out of bounds. But
what about tackles for loss, Steve? What's he got?
He's got 2.
Oh,
you know,
oh
he's,
my God.
He's just not. He's not producing like a big money player. And it would be insulting for them to not bring back Levante David and then bring back White. I think his time's up. And at the end of the year, I think you do have to remember. And the reason I say that is because you do have to remember that he asked to leave. It's hard to hand a guy a good contract after he asked to leave, and then he comes out and stays and doesn't really produce. He's going to be a good memory.
Absolutely. One more point I want to make for our audience out there. They love this kind of stuff. I was a little under the weather. I did go to the doctor. He ordered a blood test. I got it today. Then he wanted me to pee into the cup, Steve. Pee into the cup, and I want you to know that I tested positive for Dwayne Allman. I tested positive for Dwayne Allman. I just want you to know that.
All right, you're out of control. Absolutely out of control. All right, we'll be back this week. Good luck. Try not to give the team the flu, Ira. That would be nice. And we'll see you later.